blessing to us. So it's just great to be together, great to have had the opportunity to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the coming of the Son of God into the world to save sinners. As we gather, I'd like to encourage you to join me in prayer, and let's ask the Lord to visit us this morning so that we don't just have another service, because we don't need just another service. We need to encounter the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, we lift our hearts to you this morning with joy and with gratitude to you. How we praise and honor your name. Lord, we're so grateful to you. We think of you sending your own Son into the world to save sinners, and we are astonished at the thought. How great is your compassion towards us. Oh, Lord our God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. And because of Christ, you've done so many other things in our lives. All the blessings you've poured out upon us, Lord, we can scarcely number them. We are indeed debtors to your grace. Lord, we gather here to thank you and to praise you this morning, to exalt your wonderful holy name for all that you've done for us. And Lord, we present ourselves this morning as instruments of worship and praise. We ask you, Lord, to breathe upon us the breath of life. May your Holy Spirit come upon us and fill us. Fill us afresh this morning, Lord, as we enter into your presence. Empower us to give you the praise and the honor and the glory that is due to your name. Hear us, Father, we pray. Help us this morning and warm our hearts, we pray, to receive your word and to be doers of it, that we might show forth the wonderful praises of your holy name. Hear us, we pray this morning, Father, not in our righteousness, for we have none, but in the righteousness of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, this week there could not be a worse time in the year to move or do anything of any significance. And here we are on the last Sunday of the year. Many of our family, of course, away. Also, how many of you have had sickness in your home? This flu, and I don't think there's hardly a family that hasn't been touched. So if you're sitting at the back this morning and you can't hear me, I lovingly will have to tell you that's your problem. If you could move forward, because I don't have much capacity to project my voice back there. Craig, back row, lovely to see you. Welcome back. We were praying for you while you were away and so encouraged by what the Lord did in you and through you. Blessings. Great to have Craig back from having to go to the Philippines and the recent death of his mom. John Wyrick, do we need any volunteers after church to help load the truck, John? Last Sunday here this week, I was thinking of a quotation that I remember Barbara Wolfer sharing with us many years ago when we were praying for Alexander Rodnikov in the Soviet Union, and a quote from one of his letters when he was in prison, when he said that the train of God's grace is always on time. How many of you found that in your life? The train of God's grace is always on time. And a few weeks ago, when we received a letter telling us that the lease was not going to be renewed in this building, what can you do? All you do is you take it to the Lord and say, Lord, your peace passes all understanding, and this is in your hands. It's clearly no small job to move a church in about 8 weeks, or to find a place that is appropriate and suitable. But the name of our church is Christ our Shepherd. And our experience has been that the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. And it's lovely to know that we're his responsibility, isn't it? And there's nothing anybody can do, no pastors can do, or have a desire to do, to manipulate or make something happen that we can't make happen. And I want to publicly this morning express great gratitude, first of all, to the Lord Jesus Christ, our shepherd. I want to express deep gratitude to all those who've labored in the last few weeks, to the elders and the deacons. I want to especially commend Jim Amendola, who has led the team that has worked so hard in these last few weeks without any stress or pressure, but with much faith. To John Wyrick on that team, to Trish McKim, to Kathy Amendola, Who else was on that? To Jack O'Dell, to Tom, who represented the elders on that team, and for their faithfulness in this process. And it wasn't. It was only a few days ago that we were able to sign a lease with Calvary Baptist Church in D.C. And I will say a little bit more about that in a moment, because what I want to do, if you're visiting us this morning, welcome to a family town meeting. I'm going to share some things about things that you'll be receiving in the mail this week. And I also want to close with a very short biblical meditation to exhort you and encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know something? We have sought in Christ our Shepherd to make Scripture our definition for our understanding of what the church is called to be. We don't believe the church is founded by men. It's not led by personalities. It's not built by programs. The foundational life of this church was very much related to an exposition of the great epistle of the church, the book of Ephesians. And we have consistently brought to your attention the biblical definitions for structure in the body of Christ. And nowhere is that more important to understand, no time is that more important to understand than when we have to move geography. And as I said to you a few weeks ago, the Bible says that we are the building. We're not looking for a new building, we're looking for a place to put the building. We are the lively stones. And the definition of the church and of structure that the Bible gives us is that we are formed by our relationship with Jesus, the cornerstone. Jesus is the angle for everything we do and everything that we are. That is what forms everything that happens. It is formed insofar as it has a relationship with the angle, the cornerstone, who is Jesus. Secondly, Paul teaches in Ephesians 2 that we are founded on the teachings of the apostles and prophets. In other words, fundamental to our understanding of who we are is that we have a relationship with Jesus and we have a living relationship with the Word of God and with the Scriptures. And thirdly, in that same context, Paul very precisely says that we are framed together. We are fitly framed. We, the members of the body, brought into relationship with each other, like the joints and the beams in a house. And we wiggle a bit and squeak a bit, and some of us are greener and wetter than others. But that is the working definition of the structure of the body of Christ. Relationship with Jesus, the cornerstone, formed by Him. Relationship with the Word of God, founded on Scripture. And by the way, excuse me, sucking while I'm speaking here. And by the way, there are plenty of other appealing definitions of how to establish church life. There are plenty of other recipes. And thirdly, that we are framed together. We have a relationship with each other. But let me say this. We can believe that the church is defined in all those ways. We can be as scriptural as we can be. We can be as committed to eternal values as we possibly can be. We can shun temporal values of security. But the bottom line is we are still creatures of time and space. And the fact is, isn't it, that none of us like moving. We just don't like it. Physical moves, changes, challenges. They're challenges to our systems. And whether we like it or not, they bring changes in other areas of our life. Some foreseen and some unforeseen. I think I can speak for all the leadership of Christ our Shepherd Church to say that the minute that letter came, as we did with you that Sunday morning, we put the letter, we put our future, and we put each one of you into the Lord's hands. Because you do not belong to us. We together belong to the Lord. He is all of our shepherd. And we're all equally needy of His direction, of His confirmation, of His call, of His equipping, and of His retooling. And we all face common challenges. In any move, in any physical move, there is unsettlement. There's no point in denying it. There's unsettlement. We have to deal with the unfamiliar and with the unknown. There are potential demands and stresses. There are plenty of inconveniences. There are fears and concerns. Some legitimate, some illegitimate, some real, some imagined. But I want you to know this morning that I choose to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for all outcomes in this body, and I trust our relationships together in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust what the Lord has been preparing among us. And I believe that God's hand has been sovereignly at work. We felt this for some time. One of the common bonds between us in this fellowship, regardless of how mature or developed it is or how fervent it is, has always been a sense of call to this city. Against the odds, and it's very difficult to explain to other people when you appear to be such a little flock, but a commitment with other believers in this city to occupy and to be salt. I think it's true to say that we have felt, as we have prayed, and there's been an increase in of burden and vision, a growing sense of limitation on this particular physical location, as longings have grown in us to relate strategically, evangelically, and prophetically, and prayerfully to what God wants to do. In Washington, D.C. I've said this before from the pulpit, that when I'm talking to people outside D.C. who want to know what D.C.'s like, I use two images. One, she's a whore. She's used by everybody for their purposes. Federal, look, everybody comes through this city for their own purposes. We lobby for this, we lobby for that. Everything is a means to an end. I've had to do some evaluation of soul in these days. One of the things I've done is a reaffirmation and reevaluation of my own call to live here. My call to the city was out of the book of Jonah, where God spoke to me and said, doesn't matter how long it takes, but you're to pray and expect a move of God from the common people to the palace, not the palace to the common people. And this is a city of much people. And we're all common, you know that? It's the work of God that hallows our ordinariness and makes something of us. But we live in a city that is a whore. And I don't say this judgmentally, but I've stood in places, you know, even the body of Christ can use this city for its purposes. And nothing is left behind but a few pamphlets of another conference. There was a great need and a great stirring in this hour and this day. And I believe God is doing it. I believe there are signs, and there are signs of rain. But God has intentions for this city. And you know what? He has much people in this city. I have never lived in a more territorially divided city than Washington, D.C. A city that is more, where people are more defensive about their plots and their lots. It is a city dominated by the palace, and consequently, it is a city dominated by the spirits of pride and arrogance, and the strutting of the flesh, and the Tower of Babel. The counterfeit communities of men, against which is the higgledy-piggledy bleating of the little flocks of the body of Christ that appear almost stupid as they wander around the cities of men and as they find a place to flock. I believe that sovereignly, in ways that we haven't even unpacked yet, that even for the duration of what is an initial six-month lease, God has opened a door, an amazing door for us for the next 6 months, to flock together at this place as we seek Him and call upon Him. I have been so encouraged by responses of other pastors. I had a wonderful meeting with Mark Deaver and his administrative assistant at Baptist Church, Metropolitan Baptist Church on Capitol Hill. I know Mark through my sister. He was the associate pastor of my sister's church in Cambridge before he came to D.C. I tell you, he just poured out. He knows Calvary Baptist. I mean, the Baptists stick close, you know. And he poured out encouragement when he heard that the Lord had opened that door. Had a gorgeous time with my dear, dear brother, David Hines, a few days ago. David just pouring out encouragement, absolutely thrilled and charged. And we found ourselves having to hold each other back and not thinking of too many holy possibilities, even just for our own friendship and relationship in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Had a gorgeous meeting with the pastor of Calvary Baptist a few days ago, dear Lynn Bergbaum. Just sat in his study. By the way, I've got to make a confession. Occasionally I covet. There's nothing worse than driving past other people's buildings. You know, I have had to confess coveting for other people's buildings and facilities. But I tell you, I was ushered through his office into his study. Man, is that a study. I'm just praying he gives me a little bit of it. It was like walking into a kind of Cambridge or Oxford Don study, you know, big leather chairs, huge piles of books all over the place, floor to ceiling. I just wallowed in the flesh for a few milliseconds before we engaged in some spiritual exchange. What a heart this man has. He came to the city same time, exactly the same time I did, from Nebraska. And said there, he said, you know, I've never worked out why God brought me here out of Nebraska. I hadn't talked for him for more than a few minutes to have a real witness in my heart why God brought him out of Nebraska, like a David out of the sheepfold, because he has a heart for the kingdom of God that's a whole lot bigger than simply a vision for a local church. And he has labored there for the last 10 years. That church has invested nearly $3 million in that site. A strategic block in the heart of D.C. And he was sharing with me how so many of his longings had seemed to be on hold, but God had called him to preserve this vessel within the city against the odds. We laughed some and we cried some together, and I felt such a knitting in the Holy Spirit with him, a knitting that was very fresh and new, that even these 6 months is not simply a business relationship. It's the household of God. And I tell you something, some sneaky thoughts passed through my head that maybe we need to humbly acknowledge before God. When we're at a place of need, we always tend to think of our own purposes. And I thought it just may be that God's got something in store that has far more to do with his answers of prayers that they have prayed, where we can bless them and be used of God to encourage them. And he openly expressed that need for encouragement. So I'm just saying there's been so much encouragement in a very short space of time. And it would have been lovely to have had a great big long period of time to prepare for this move. We just haven't had it. It would have been great that it wasn't Christmas and Christmas services. But you know what? I thank the Lord for that. Because one thing the Lord has done through all this, he's kept our focus on Jesus. We've been praising God incarnate. And really, it's lifted such a burden from getting all hassled about all other number of potential bits and pieces. And God is very quietly and, I think, very sweetly making a way for us. Dear ones, I am no different from you. I prefer security. What pastor doesn't want to be able to stand in front of any congregation and give them every assurance and every answer to ensure everyone's happiness and everyone's involvement? Dear ones, welcome to the walk of faith. There is loads that we haven't got. And there's loads that I can't guarantee. But we can choose to walk in the light that we have in Jesus and in fleshing out our commitment to one another. There are going to be new lessons. You cannot avoid the lessons of faith. But there's also going to be new, incredible opportunities for service and growth. I'm well aware of how far we have to go. But the Lord's brought into my life many encouragements this week from strange sources of how far he has led us. I've had interesting mail this week from people around the country who used to be part of COSC, who have just been pouring in encouragement. I got one letter this week from somebody that said, I want you to know that if God only planted COSC for me, it was the purposes of God, and you need to know it. I was thinking this week of the early days here. By the way, it's lovely to have Dennis Clements in church this morning. Remember, some of you don't know Dennis. Dennis led worship when we first came, when the church was planted. And when we first came here and we had a few rows of metal chairs downstairs in the fellowship hall, we used to worship for 45 minutes. I shouldn't tell you this because you want it back. We used to break for coffee and donuts for 20 minutes. And then we used to come back loaded on sugar and caffeine, wide awake for the teaching and the message. Our church life didn't come with a kit. It didn't. Our structures and our relationships didn't come prepackaged. We wholly edged our way in, learning, applying, seeking to live it out, laying a foundation. And God gave us this building and this place as such a wonderful place of shelter to be nurtured and to grow together and to discover our resources in God. And now God is thrusting us out. And I want you to know this morning that that is a revelation of His fatherhood. It is the Father that will press the child into service when the child would much rather hang on to the maternal apron strings and the coziness of the fire. And it's the fatherhood of God at work. It's His parenting at work in our personal and our corporate life. And I think, therefore, dear ones, you should take it as a compliment that the Lord sees something in you that He wants to develop and wants to mature and doesn't want to go to seed. I think He has tested our hearts. The Lord says He will test our hearts to know us and to try us and to see what is there. We have committed. We've had a slow and a quiet growth. A commitment to authenticity. One of the jokes in this church is to find out how people ever found out about it. The Lord led us to come out of advertising. I think there will be some changes coming down the line. The Lord is leading some new directions to get the word out and to reach out to the city and to reach out to the neighborhoods. And yet I want to tell you something this morning as a loving pastor to encourage you. You know something? Your love for each other is known all over town. You know that? I was thinking about that this morning, and it was a bit like Paul, you know, writing to the Thessalonians. Your love for each other is known all around town. I meet strangers who have been blessed by who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I honor that testimony of your life. But there is a tremendous need for a spirit of humility amidst the spirits of pride and arrogance that dominate our city as we make a choice to be a holy counter-movement. And may I say this lovingly and humbly, that the Lord is doing things and rearranging for His purposes, not ours. For His purposes. And they're bigger even than His purposes for a temporal work. His agenda has always been eternal, and it still also has to do with that which is to come. He always has the long-term big picture when we are so pressed in and scared by the small decisions and the short-term ones. It's also an opportunity for many of you who haven't been with us through a move before. And it's, look, don't get wimpy. It's only the third time. I mean, both Tom and I told you about Saddleback Community in California that moved 79 times in 15 years. You know, so don't come wimping to me. This is the third time. But you know what? It gives us all as a new generation of faith an opportunity to discover new things about what God wants to do. I was able to be here in this church yesterday morning. I came to the service here of Seventh-day Adventist, and they gave me some time to address the congregation and to bless them. And I did. We had great joy in blessing them, in thanking them for their hospitality to these Bedouins and pilgrims. And you know, God will bless them. And I had a gorgeous time just thanking personally people we've known over the years, Jack Cross and Grim Abar, and many of these guys. And Pastor Jack Sakira gave such a sweet blessing in return. And he looked out over his congregation and he said, isn't going to be great when we're all in heaven together? And I'm just so encouraged, not only by the way the Lord has brought this to closure, very quietly it seems, but with much blessing and much exchange. There's a verse in the Bible, Deuteronomy 8:2, that says, remember the way the Lord thy God led thee. The Bible teaches that there is much sin that occurs because of the forgetfulness of God's people. You know this is one of my favorite teaching subjects. I try and teach on it at least once a year. I'll almost certainly get to it at least once in January at the beginning of the new year because it's such a crucial biblical injunction. Remember the ways that the Lord has led you. And while I continue to show some overheads that are family talk about the move, I want you to ponder and think and ask the Lord to bring to your mind something that you remember, that you can give thanks to the Lord for, about a work of God in your life related to this place. The fact is, places have memories, don't they? I said to the SDA congregation yesterday, you know, thank you, this church has memories for us as it does for you. Some of us have been baptized here. People have found Christ here. People have been convicted of sin here. We have laughed here together. We have wept together. People have been baptized here. Babies have been set apart to the Lord here. All the stuff of life has happened in this place. We have grown relationships together here. People walked through that door single and walked out married here. Unfortunately, not as fast as that, but you know what I mean. This, you know, life is bound up in precious memories that are the way the Lord has led us, that allow us to leave with thanksgiving and with much gratitude to the Lord. So just be thinking about some of the things the Lord has done in your life, because I'm going to give you an opportunity to share with one or two people before the day is done. I want to put up some overheads here, and I want to go through, if you're visiting us, well, bless you. You can pray for us as we go through this. And pray that all the people who aren't here open their mail this week and don't throw out the church envelope, because if they do, they are sunk. Okay. First of all, it's very hard to change from Sunday to Saturday. But first of all, the invitation that is going to everybody, open house, Christ our Shepherd Church, come and join us at our new facility on Saturday, January the 4th, 1997, from 3:30 to 6 p.m. We're going to run it like an open house so you can kind of sniff around. You know how it is when you get into a new place. You want to sniff it out, where the restrooms are, where your kids are, what the toys are like. You want to ride the Tonka toys. Play. You know how it is. You know, you want to test the nursery, all the stuff, test the coffee machines. We're just plain nosy. How many of you are just plain nosy? You're all plain nosy. So we're giving you time for some holy nosiness. And there'll be plenty of directions and guide and all the rest of it, some refreshments served. We'll mill around, and we're going to run a one-hour service from 4 to 5 within that open time in the sanctuary. 4 to 5. So if you can't get there at 3:30 to mill around and snoop, please be there from 4 to 5 for our service in the sanctuary. You'll be receiving maps, large maps, small maps, written directions, semaphore, coded messages. Alrighty. Most of you know downtown DC. Most of you don't want to know downtown DC. Alrighty. By the way, I got a wonderful Christmas present this year. Somebody who prays for us in California sent me in the mail a key, which they'd set in Perspex. And just to say that they were praying for us and praying for the church and joining us in our prayer that the Lord will strategically give us open doors and a new key to the city. Amen? I've got that in my pocket. That's on my desk. That's a little confirmation and token. Just thought I'd throw that in. All right. Just to take your mind off DC, actually. No. Okay. Can you all see that? If you can't move...